As we look into the past, we have enjoyed yet another wonderful Advent and Christmas season, observing the miracle of the Word taking on human flesh in order to redeem us all. When we look into the future, we pray that the Holy Spirit lead us to an edifying observance of Lent as we see the miracle of Christ's suffering and death for our sins. And also we pray for an edifying observance of Easter as we see that the miracle of Christ being raised from the dead, showing that the victory over death has been won. But where does that leave us now? It leaves us in the season of Epiphany. Its focus is also important. In it, we see the revealing of Jesus' divine glory and his powerful expressions and compassion seen in his miraculous works. In John's Gospel, the word sign is used 17 times to talk about these miracles, for they reveal several things about the Lord, one of which is his abundance of care. Throughout this season, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He cast out a legion of demons. He cured the incurable disease of the day, leprosy, on many occasions. He calmed the storms of the Sea of Galilee. And no doubt you've all heard these stories since you were children. And from them we learn that death, disease, natural disaster, and the devil have been conquered. And Christ is stronger than them. And yes, although Christ has conquered sin's scariest consequences in life, we sometimes forget that he is also there to aid us through the everyday matters in our lives as well. So today we will look at the first recorded miracle account of Jesus, and we will see that Jesus cares for our everyday concerns. We read from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. As we observe this wedding feast, we see Mary's reaction to a particular blunder. She sees the wedding party has run out of wine. Was this a life-threatening problem? No. Was it physically painful? No. It was simply a social blunder, an embarrassing situation, if you will. Imagine being at a wedding reception, which no doubt has a liquor bar in the back, something like that. And it's not hard to imagine, but imagine it running out of alcohol and other drinks 30 minutes in because they didn't stock enough. It's not harming anyone. It's just embarrassing, right? Mary notices this, and out of concern, what does she do? She's not only aware of the situation, but has faith in the power which her son, Jesus, the Son of God, has. She says to him, "They have no wine," implying and asking him to fix this. When it comes down to it, this is a prayer request. Mary is making a request to Jesus, the Son of God, for help. Jesus then answers the seemingly odd reply, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." It almost seems disrespectful, but rest assured it is not. He calls her woman, which is a title of respect in those days, instead of mother. It was an interesting thing for a son to call his mother. The point he's making is that he is the Son of God. He has power that is not subject to his mother. But the hour will come, but not yet. So let's take this to apply this to ourselves. Do we think to pray to God in the small, embarrassing situations of life? Sure, when the going gets tough, maybe when we get sick, or maybe when we're scared, we pray to God, and we certainly should do so. But how about in the everyday matters? Jesus cares about your entire lives, from organ surgeries to minor bank transactions, from natural disaster protection to prepping for a test. You can pray to God for anything. God encourages it and is glad to hear the requests of his children. He may grant it, or he may not, because he has a better plan in mind. Or he may say, not yet, as Jesus did with Mary, who then Mary took in confidence and told the servants to expect direction from Jesus. Let us also pray for such confidence in Jesus when we pray, and not only just for the prayers for our dire needs, but the requests in our day-to-day lives. For it didn't used to be this way. We didn't used to have such a great blessing, for we were once cut off from God. We were sinful. God was holy. There was this chasm of sin separating us. So why should he answer us? Because we have that mediator. We have a Savior who has reunited, bridged the gap with God. For when he bled and died for you and me, he reconciled us to God. He made it possible to pray to God in the first place. He made it possible, and he, by the Holy Spirit, leads us to bring these requests, big and small, dire and every day, to God. He will deliver us from these mundane hardships, big and small, to eternal bliss in heaven. From him and his word, we will learn how to pray, and pray often, even for the little things. We will learn that he is always with us, guiding us through hardship. We will learn that he and what he has done in his loving care will be found in his holy word every day. And we will also learn that there is nothing too everyday or simple to keep his care and love flooding into our lives. Amen. We'll close with hymn 357, verses 1, 3, and 6.